Hi there, my name is Joel Funk, and I'm the editor-in-chief of The Brain Iron, and this is our weekly news roundup podcast. Sitting to my left is the assistant online editor of The Brain Iron.
Hi. This is Caitlin Tam.
And to her left is the online editor.
Hey, this is David Demick. How are you guys doing today?
So we're going to do a roundup of the top news stories for this week. And first, we're going to discuss President McGinnity addressed the faculty saying that although he was happy to see the gender makeup of the new Board of Trustees appointees diversified, he still would have liked to see more gender diversity on the Board of Trustees.
I mean, Joel, what do you think? I think it's something that's always come up. Campus has always struggled with diversity a little bit. It's a favorite topic to talk about, but I don't necessarily always see diversity truly put into action. What do you guys think?
I think sometimes it's kind of like what David said. It's often discussed and a lot of people see it as an issue, but then there's maybe a lack of action to actually getting gender diversity. But then again, it can be hard if people who qualify or apply are quite qualified for the position. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think it's a matter of, in Wyoming, we're in a state where you can call it hegemony or not, but it is run by a lot of white males. But the fact is that the Board of Trustees is supposed to be representative of a population that is 50% female. And there have been calls as well for minority representation. And if you look at the numbers demographically, the state only has about 10% of the population is non-Caucasian. So I can see where that's difficult, but at the same time, there are minority interests in the state, and I feel like there should be someone there to represent them, whether it's Latino, African American, Native. I'm not sure what the candidate pool looks like, but I think that that would be an important consideration in future appointments. The next topic that was a buzz this week was a Hess donation and energy partnerships with the university. There's no doubt that UW can't turn away this money because there is some contention over whether the energy development that we use in the state with coal and natural gas is safe, or whether that there are environmental problems.
Oh, that's the thing that frustrates me the most about the situation. If you remember that little coal exhibit, that artwork that they had out where the lab school is, kind of. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know, there was a little art exhibit. It was just a vortex, so to speak, of pine beetle infested wood stumps. And then surrounded by coal, and the artist was trying to express how global warming is leading to more, deforestation, which then leads to even more climate change, global warming, etc. And then that was taken down almost just a few months following it being put up there in the first place, because there was so much controversy from our donors. And I think that this just really goes to show that the university has a lot of really good opportunities, but I think in the end we are kind of in the energy industry's pocket, and we can't really get around that. And I think some of the concerns that were brought up, like you said, by AdGenic, it's valid. And I wonder how much deference the university and an extent the students have to give in such a context.
I guess I understand that universities oftentimes have a niche or a specialty, and that this university is going to be in engineering and energy research and things like that. But I worry about not having a diversified economy in education, because energy is a boom and bust industry, and it's not going to last forever. And if we don't have minds in other fields of intellectual expertise, it's going to be a huge bust for the state.
Nice. I like what you did there. Minds in intellectual fields. Moving along, I think one issue that was really big, and I'll let Caitlin talk about this one a little bit more, is the gardens. I mean, it's close to a lot of students' hearts. Obviously, the issue is that it's not turning any profit. What do you think, Caitlin?
I think it's definitely a valuable asset to the university. I don't know. I don't fully understand why they would want to get rid of it. I think there's other entities on campus that aren't profiting any money. For example, some of the fast food places in the union, I don't see anyone ever at the hot dog place, ever. Mm-hmm. And I think the gardens always generates quite a few people, and a lot of bands can play there. It's a good way for people to get out at the end of the day. And, you know, I don't see how it's really that detrimental to the university. I mean, we're able to afford all these new sports stadiums and everything. Why not keep the gardens?
I could talk about the gardens to no end, but the question was raised by an administrator as to why can't we have music without beer. Well, I've been promoting shows in Wyoming for over 10 years, and alcohol is just a part of going to a show. That's not going to change. It's a factor, and it's going to continue to be a factor, and if you take that out of the equation, people are going to go watch bands at the bars.
Exactly. And one last comment that I have for that, too, is the fact, you know, it's interesting how the administration says that alcohol shouldn't be a part of band performances, yet when we invite donors to go to Wildcatter and watch our stadium, you know, play and go crazy, why do we need alcohol there when the rest of the stadium
right.
is dry?
Why do we need a cocktail bar at the end of the Board of Trustees meetings?
It's, you know? It's a little hypocritical, but it's understandable. There are some concerns, especially after the McGowan case that happened at Halloween. However, I think Noah Hull, a friend of mine, who's a graduate student here, made a really good point when he said that, you know, it's a very safe environment, and it's probably one of the safest environments where students can drink in a very controlled kind of environment. So I think it's a bad idea to get rid of the gardens, but
I'm going to agree with you there. Kaylin, do you want to introduce our last topic?
Yeah, for the last subject today is we wanted to address the potential suicide that took place this past week near Whitehall, and we wanted to just kind of talk about it. Joel, what do you think?
Well, it's obviously a tragic situation, and the primacy of people's concern should be focused on healing, preventing it from happening in the future, and you know, prayers or whatever you preferred method of sending care out to the loved ones of the person who died. First and foremost, but at least from the media perspective of it, it's been really frustrating that we haven't gotten any information about the identity or the circumstances that happened. And I think that it's kind of allowed for a lot of misinformation to disseminate, which is really unfortunate when we could be working on healing. We're instead asking questions and bickering with administrators and police and city officials, you know.
Definitely, and I feel like today's Friday and the event happened Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's plenty of time now where families should have been notified and the media should have more information at this point. And mm-hmm. and like Joel said, it's enough time where all sorts of different stories are being passed around and information is getting misconstrued.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most crass examples, and I think this is ridiculous, but one of the things that one of the reporters brought up during our online budget meeting was that one student apparently said, you know, I heard that the kid actually survived, and that's why they're not giving out the name. And that's the kind of misinformation that Joel is talking about. At this point, we should have certainty of what happened, not just because we want to have that information and publish that information. That's not the point. What we want is a discussion about how to prevent such travesties in the future. Suicide is something that happens every year at the university. And I know that the administration would not like to talk about this or pretend like it doesn't happen to a certain degree, but it does. And there are reasons that they happen. And it's wonderful that we have free resources like the counseling center, but that's not enough, apparently. We need to have a discussion about what else can we do to help individuals like the student that died in front of Whitehall. We need to have discussions on how to be a better community potentially, and for that we need true facts and not this gossip ruminating in the student ranks.
Well, and the last thing that I'll say about it is that student media is not just playtime for students. We really do provide information, and people do go for us for information, and we try our best to be objective, clear, true, and to the point. And I really wish that we had the opportunity to provide information in this case. But with that being said, that'll wrap up our podcast for this week. Thank you for tuning in, and check in with us next Friday for the BI News Roundup podcast. And I assume there'll be a theme song or something.